and welcome back to Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tokini. This is our songwriter series, and today's legendary guest is Larry Stewart of Restless Heart. They've had some of our favorite songs of all time, including I'll Still Be Loving You and When She Cries. Larry, it's an honor to have you on our show today. Welcome.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me.
Well, you bet. Hey, tell us a little bit about your hometown, your upbringing, and how you emerged in the music industry.
Well, I grew up in a place called Paducah, Kentucky. And I turned 5 years old or so and started singing with my father. And when I turned 6 years old, he taught me how to play the piano. And I kind of learned quickly. As a matter of fact, by the time I was 8, I was playing the piano for my dad's quartet. And, you know, go around the area playing Lions clubs and fundraisers and churches and stuff like that. They call them singings back in the South. They do singings and stuff, and gospel singings. And so, you know, I grew up around my father. Really, my father had a dream for me to be doing what I'm doing more than I did. Because once I got, you know, a little older towards teenage time, I was into sports. So I was playing all the sports in junior high and high school and running around with my friends, playing basketball up this basketball court that all of our buddies, you know, would walk to or ride their bike to. And my father was always wanting me to, you know, come sing and play with him, play for his friends, they'd have parties and wanted me to stick around and sing and play. And, you know, when I was young, I was wanting to go hang with the guys, you know. So just growing up, I mean, I love both. Don't get me wrong, but just growing up, it was music and then, you know, playing baseball and football and basketball, you know, trying to get it all in. And my father was a great singer. He crossed between Bing Crosby and Nat King Cole, I think.
Wow.
You know, he just was really a great singer. He loved it more than anything in the world. He actually became friends with a number of people in Nashville, producers, Jerry Crutchfield, Joe Mascayo, who's with Elvis, and then the Stamps Quartet, the Imperials, all those people that were with Elvis. And, you know, Larry Gatlin and Jerry Reed and just so, and just Glenn Campbell. He was this used car salesman that loved music and reached out and became friends and never met a stranger. And then he started selling cars to all these people. And as a matter of fact, he traded a Cadillac for a 58 Thunderbird, a hard top convertible with airplane windows in it. It was pink. He got it from Larry Gatlin. And you got to be pretty sure of yourself to drive a pink Thunderbird to high school. But I did.
Oh, funny.
So anyway, I mean, I'm jumping around a little bit, but as you can see, my world was surrounded by music. And I didn't really appreciate it until baseball, oddly enough, took me to Nashville. I did not plan on going to Nashville. Baseball took me there because the good Lord decided I wasn't smart enough to know what I was supposed to do with my life. So he had to take over, and it's really funny. My college baseball team came to just outside of Nashville and played another college baseball team. And some friends of ours in Nashville called Coach Whitten at Belmont University and said, hey, we've got this guy that we want y'all to go see. He's from Kentucky. He's playing this, that, and the other. We've seen him play. If you can work it out, you know, go watch him. Well, as good Lord would have it, they came. And that day I hit two home runs in the game. I had never really hit two home runs in any game in my life. And they offered me a scholarship to go to Belmont. And that began my music career.
Big home runs in more ways than one, huh?
Yep, it really was. I mean, that's kind of something there that you have to, you know, look at that and go, that all happened for a reason.
That's right.
It certainly wasn't a plan of mine.
Now, I love the story of you and your dad. Is there a particular life lesson that he taught you that really changed your life?
Well, my father, everybody loved him. He treated people so well, and he was had a great personality, very personable with people. You know, I got to grow up with him around his car business. Buddy Stewart Auto Sales is what it was. And I just hung out with him a lot growing up at work. I hung out with him a lot, you know, doing music. And then, of course, he never missed a sporting event that I was a part of. But he was just really, really a popular person in the community. He gave back. He you know, was so nice to people and would help people if he could. I mean, if the guy was a multimillionaire, he would have given it all away. He's just that kind of guy. And I just learned a lot of life lessons like that growing up and being around him. I lost him when I was 18 years old. So I learned so much from him, being around him in a short period of time than probably a lot of people learn, you know, spending more time, you know, with their parents. It's just because I was with him constantly. So,
sure.
You know, as far as music and, you know, playing the piano and learning how to sing harmony, because he was a big quartet guy, and I just watched him and do everything, and I learned so much from him.
Well, it sure comes through in your music today, and even shows up in your collaborations as well. And I was talking to your wonderful public relations team led by Kay Wagner about the people that you have written with. Tell us about some of your favorite collaborations.
Well, you know, a song that went top 5 or 10 or something like that. It's, you know, a song that I co-wrote with Dave Robbins of Blackhawk. It's a song called Long Lost Friend. And he's written Blue Skies in Texas and so many different songs for Restless Heart, and you know, it was, plus he's a friend. It's always great to write with him, and one of the great writers that I always got to sit in the room with. We never wrote a hit, but Dave Loggins. I remember him.
Please
Come to Boston. That was him. That's one of my favorite songs ever, and I think I got to meet him when I got to Nashville. But he wrote Fast Moving Train and Wheels and a few other songs for Restless Heart. You know, to be able to sit in a room with those guys, and guys like Tim Dubois, who was our producer and co-wrote, you know, also co-wrote Blue Skies in Texas, and so many other songs were recorded over the years. But I got to sit with a lot of folks. A song I got recorded by Faith Hill called But I Will. I co-wrote it with Troy Seals, who is just an amazing songwriter. Just when you're an artist like me, you just got the opportunity to sit on Music Row, in my case, back in the 80s and 90s, and watch geniuses at work. And learned so much. And so I wrote a song on my latest solo album called Ain't Done Man, who produced it. His name's Gordon Kennedy. He's a world-class guitar player, but he was the first non-baseball player I met back in the early 80s. Full circle, he produced my record, and he also co-wrote a song called Change the World by Eric Clapton. I'd say he did pretty good on that one.
I'd say so.
Yeah, and so to be able to work with him, he's worked with Peter Frampton. He's produced Ricky Skaggs albums. It's just funny. He's the first guy I met, and probably the most talented person I've ever known, still to this day. And I really appreciated him, producing my album for me. It's called Shifting Gears. And just really been able to meet a lot of great songwriters and really learn the craft and watched him work. Wish I was a lot better songwriter than I am, but I'm very proud of the work that I've been able to add on to my songwriting career over the years, and just very blessed.
Well, you bet. And you still have a lot left in your tank to write more songs. And Larry, understanding that some of the greatest songs of all time have the fewest words, tell us one of your favorite songs that actually uses an economy of words.
That has few, very few words compared to what most songs are today, and that's Wichita Lineman.
Oh, absolutely.
As a matter of fact, the story I heard about Wichita Lineman is that the songwriter, when you know that, it'll go blank, on a live interview, but it'll come to me in a minute. But the songwriter sent it to Glenn just to ask him what he thought. And he was waiting around, and he finally called Glenn in a few days, said, "Hey, so you didn't like my song? I mean, I never heard a word back from you." He said, "We cut it. We cut that song." He said, "You cut it. It wasn't finished. It only has like a verse and a chorus on it."
Is that Jimmy Webb?
Jimmy Webb, thank you. I would have been able to know his name drunk, but I mean, I just for some reason went blank. But yeah, what a great writer he is. And
Well, to your point about that, Larry, why to our young audience out there, why is it so important to have an economy of words, an efficiency of words, knowing that you can say a lot with very few?
well, let me tell you, that song actually has to me the best line ever written in a song.
Whoa.
And it's the line, "And I need you more than want you, and I want you for all time." That might
Okay,
be the
powerful.
best line ever written, man. I mean, just like it's just that's yeah, it's powerful. Also, we, artists and songwriters, when we're, around, and Restless Heart does it, and we're working with some other artists, invariably somebody will come and say, "Oh my gosh, that song's got the best line ever, and I need you more than want you, and I want you for all time." It's just a great, great line.
Would you sing that little line for us?
"And I need you more than want you, and I want you for all time, and the Wichita lineman is still on the line."
Beautiful. See, and to
Yeah.
you listeners out there hearing Larry sing that, and you think about the amount of words that Larry just sang, but the punch and the heart behind those few words, it is amazing. So it's not about overworking your craft sometimes, isn't it? Just about being choosy about the words
Well,
you say.
I think, and this is, I don't want anybody to take me wrong on this because, the songwriting craft of today's music is still very creative and, I wish they broaden their subject matter sometimes. But I think that's why music of the 80s and 90s is on a big, big rebound. It's just that people enjoy that style of songwriting. It has emotion in it. Today's music has an edge. Hey, that's fun, party, rocking music too. There's a lot of emotion in the 80s and 90s songwriting because there was so much writing about relationships and love, even if it were, negative and breakups. It's just just bringing out that emotion in a wonderfully written, you know, crafted lyric. And I just think that's why, you know, a lot of people are going back, and you can see by the streaming, and you can sing by the concerts, you know, up until about a month ago. Hopefully we'll get back to that, you know, that our industry's talking about how, thank goodness, that era is making a huge rebound.
Yep, that's right. That's right. We are talking to Larry Stewart, lead singer of Restless Heart. He's got another solo album out, and we're looking forward to hearing that. And Larry, I got to ask you a question about band dynamics. I've been in and out of bands over the course of 50 years, averaging about 7 or 8 years per band. And I'm wondering, from your perspective, being a part of a group that celebrated their 35th anniversary with all the original members, and all of you are inducted to the Oklahoma Music Hall of Fame, what has been the secret sauce behind sticking together and leaving the ego at the doorstep?
Well, being together 35 years didn't come without bumps in the road. I mean, as a matter of fact, you know, it got so bad in the early 90s that me and Greg Jennings, our guitar player, were going to leave for a little bit, but he decided not to last minute. I decided to. I had to step away from it. Just the demands, trying to live with four other guys, trying to agree, trying to keep everybody's feet firmly planted. Bands are tough, you know, especially depending on the personality makeup or whatever people's personal problems they're going through, and then, you know, everybody's kind of stuck on a bus together, traveling together, eating together, performing together, doing business, you know, it's tough. And so we shut it down for a little while, and early 2000s, we kind of got back together again. Dave Innes, our keyboard player, came back to town, and he, you know, buried the hatchet with a couple of other guys, and then we said, hey, guys, why don't we just go out and do a few shows and see if anybody cares? And that was 2002, and we're still at it.
Amazing.
And, you know, I think no matter, well, you know, once you mature a little bit, no matter how much you agree or disagree or, you know, rub each other the wrong way, I mean, there's something about hitting the stage with that band that, you know, we're so lucky to have music. We still love to play and sing. There's just a gift about hitting the stage together. And if you can, you know, it's like marriages, really. You know, if you can just get through those rough spots and get on the other side, and then everybody knows why you're there or why we're here, and things smooth out. And so I think that really right there, if we hadn't shut it down when we did, maybe we wouldn't be together anymore. So it's all worked out perfect.
Yes, sir. Exactly. If there was an alternative name to your band other than Restless Heart after 35 years, what would you rename the band?
Now you're throwing a knuckleball at me.
Baseball's hard.
You know, we've been Restless Heart for 36 years. I don't even know. That's strike two on me. I can't even answer this. That's two questions.
You know that talk shows are not like being at bat. So here comes another pitch to the batter, and this one is easy. Let's play What's Behind the Lyrics now. The road I've been traveling on is full of good intentions. What do those words mean to you today?
Well, that's When She Cries, and you know, I found that song. Got a story behind that. If you got a second,
yes, sir.
I had that song for my first solo album. The guys were still together, and long story short, powers that be didn't want me to record When She Cries, and I go, man, that's my favorite song of everything. And, well, anyway, ended up giving it to Josh Leo, who was producing the next album for Restless Heart when I wasn't in the band. It was the last album that they did together, too, with the four of them. And I remember living that song. Every lyric to that song was what I was living. You know, you're chasing your dream, you're out there, gone for 6-7 weeks at a time. You know, my wife was at home with two babies and trying to survive and make it work. And so that song is very, very special to me. If everybody would go back and listen to that, I think everybody would be able to relate.
I do too. And such is the magic of your songs, Larry, because here's one I want you to tell us the meaning behind from Say What's in Your Heart, which, by the way, we think is the absolute quintessential anthem for great communication. You sing, I can take anything but standing in the dark. What does that mean to you?
Yeah. I mean, you know, just don't hold back. Don't keep it to yourself. As you say, communicate. Tell me what you're thinking. Tell me what you're wanting. Tell me what's bothering you. And just say what's in your heart.
You got it. And this last one is about what we think is the ultimate wedding song, I'll Still Be Loving You. And you write, till the mountains are valleys and every ocean is dry, I'll be yours. That is poetic and it's beautiful. And what does that mean to you personally now?
Yeah, I mean, that song is so magical. I mean, that whole chorus, I'll be yours until the sun doesn't shine, until time stands still, until the winds don't blow. When today's just a memory to me, I know I'll still be loving you. I mean, there's a lot of poetic lines in there. I that means I'll be loving you forever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In its simplest form, when I hear this at weddings, I go, you guys have great music taste. The bride and the groom, because I think you guys actually listened to the words of a song and they brought personal meaning to you. And isn't that, in essence, one of the reasons why you're in this business is your songs go way beyond the music?
Well, you know, I knew how music affected me growing up. You know, I'd get an album, listen to a new long play album, and listen to the songs, read the credits and all that stuff. It was always amazing to me, but I never thought about me being in a position to where I was able to be a part of something musically that was so powerful to people. I mean, to this day, like those songs right there are 34 years old. And to this day, people come up to us and tell us a story about that song. That song was in our wedding. That song was in this. I remember falling in love with that song. Or I remember where I was when I first heard that song. And people will, send a story about that very song, I'll Still Be Loving You. And they're still telling us. It's probably more powerful today. It's just, you know, music's powerful. A great song is powerful. That's why it's so important to really, you know, have a grasp of the song that you're recording, that you're singing, and make sure it's right. Because if something happens and it gets out in front of the world, it'll be there forever. So, you know, it's just really take your craft seriously and make sure every T is crossed and every I is dotted. And, you know, we were so lucky to write and record, you know, some songs that, you know, we never get tired of doing because they're, you know, well written.
Man, these are the songs of our life. Larry, tell us where Restless Heart will be in concert this coming summer.
We're on social media, you know, Restless Heart Band, I believe it is, or Restless Heart on Facebook and Twitter. You can go to restlessheartband.com. And we're updating our tour schedule right there. Also, with my new Shifting Gears album, go to LarryStewartMusic.com, and order the album from there. And I'll sign it and send you a koozie and a phone wallet, Shifting Gears phone wallet. So, and you know, just check out stuff there. And also, I'm on social media, Twitter, and all the other ones. So, come check me out, and I look forward to seeing everybody on the road when we get back on there again.
Well, we do too. Let's see how we can wrap this thing up. This was a 2-home-run day driving away in a pink 1958 T-Bird. How about that? All for the talented Larry Stewart of Restless Heart.
That's it. I didn't strike out on the third strike, but let's just say I got walked.
Well, Larry, we look forward to enjoying all your music in the future. Be well, my friend.
Thanks so much. Enjoyed it.
That was legendary singer Larry Stewart of Restless Heart. We sure appreciate him being on our songwriter series today. We hope that you enjoyed this. And as we always say here, may you live the best version of you. Have a great week. So thanks to our sponsor, Edward Jones. They are our trusted financial advisor. And Edward Jones has been instrumental in helping us pivot our lives built around health, happiness, travel, and adding value to other people's lives. You can contact our advisor, Serban Marasini, by emailing him at serban.marasine@edwardjones.com. And thanks again to their sponsorship of this program. And thanks to our sponsor, Gracefully Yours Greeting Cards, and their hilarious Church Kitchen Lady cards. Church Kitchen Ladies are a bunch of maybe 20 million volunteers across the United States that work in 300,000 churches, and they say stuff like, mind your own biscuits and life will be gravy. They also say, crunch tacos, not abs. And you're crazy is showing, you might want to tuck that back in. And one of our favorites is, life is short, lick the bowl. If you want to find out more about the wonderful Church Kitchen Ladies and join their roundtable, go to gracefully-yours.com today and find out about Church Kitchen Ladies and purchase all the rest of the fine Gracefully Yours greeting cards.